My name is Bill Neary. I am the Director of Ensemble Advancement at the Sphinx Organization, and I run a myriad of programs within the nonprofit organization, but the primary one of which that we're going to be talking about today is, of course, Sphinx Virtuosi. My story with Sphinx actually begins many years ago. Sphinx was founded in 1997, and not too long after that, I was in middle school, and I went to one of the young artist education summer camps that was hosted at Walnut Hill called Sphinx Performance Academy. And I attended that for two separate summers. That was my first exposure both to, of course, the Sphinx organization, but also just like high level, like world-class level playing, period. The faculty were Sphinx competition winners and alumni, and they were, you know, my teachers while I was there. And I had always had this kind of synonymous relationship between diversity and excellence in classical music, because that was my first time really seeing both of those things. Ever since then, I've, you know, been in close touch with the Sphinx organization. I performed as a violist in the Sphinx Virtuosi. For those who don't know, the Sphinx Virtuosi is a 18-member self-conducted string orchestra comprising of the nation's top Black and Latino classical artists. We just released this album. I've been working with Sphinx ever since then, really. 2019, I started in a part-time role, and I've been full-time since 2020. I went from just simply playing in the virtuosi in the viola section to now I run the whole tour in close collaboration with our management and MKI artists and other staff members as well. It definitely takes a village to launch our 20-plus city national tours that we have every year. And we're about to go on the road in a couple of days, actually. So this is like really great timing to talk about the album and our concerts coming up. And yeah, a lot of great stuff.
Well, it's really a pleasure to have you here, Bill, so we can talk more of the ensemble and the organization as well. Now, when you are not on the road touring, is it Detroit that you call home base?
The organization does, for sure. The virtuosi, everyone comes from all different places. That's part of the joys of my job, to figure out how best to get 18 musicians from their various homes to a remote town in the middle of Pennsylvania while still maintaining a budget. No, but it's really cool. I mean, everyone brings that kind of, you know, their unique background. And we have folks who are, you know, doing studio and film gigs in LA. We have folks who are in major orchestras all over the country. We have musicians that are on faculty at conservatories and universities. So everyone's coming from all over. Me personally, my home is Miami. We're very privileged at the Sphinx organization that our 12 full-time staff are all remote workers. But what that does is allows us to be very mobile and flexible so that we could be on the road with Sphinx Virtuosi one day, and the following week we could be at our gala reception in New York City, and then the following week we're in a different place. So there's a lot of mobility to the job.
And what's interesting too, and you mentioned this, I think, earlier, that the Virtuosi is a conductor-less ensemble. What is that experience like? It's maybe a little, seems like it could be a little surprising to some audience members.
Totally. And I'm on like a branding campaign on rewording that to self-conducted. I know it sounds a little weird, but we are not lacking anything. Yeah, it's very unique. I mean, a lot of the musicians in the group have really strong soloist and chamber music backgrounds. And so it just kind of fits and feels really natural for us. But for sure, it's very shocking to the audience that is about to, you know, see an orchestra come on stage, and they're used to seeing that one person, that one ambassador for the musicianship, to kind of take all the credit and be the person to fixate their gaze onto. And when they're not there, you know, you're kind of like, oh, who do I look at? Oh my God, they're all looking at each other. What are they doing? What's really important about that is that every single musician has their own kind of voice, and there's a conversation happening between, you know, viola number three and cello number two, and then the bass players cueing the second violins, and that could all happen and flow autonomously without a singular conduit.
What do you think that some of the pieces on American Mirror bring to the landscape of modern music? Maybe something that's been lacking or even missing?
Yeah, I mean, it goes without saying, the role for many, many orchestras and soloists and chamber musicians and performers is that of like a cover band. I'm not knocking it, but what we're offering that's quite unique is a lot of music that's telling a unique story that I think is best told by the artists of our ensemble and is relevant and recognizable by pretty much any listener out there. It's very unique. A lot of these pieces have never been performed before. Herencia, Hane, Drill, American Mirror, and Habari Gani, really all of the pieces except one, were written or arranged for our orchestra. So not only are these unique composers' voices and unique stories that are being told and captured by a very unique group of performers, but these are arrangements and compositions written with us in mind. Herencia, for example, by Andrea Casarrubios, was written for 18 individual parts. So if you look at the score, every single page is like a measure, basically, because it takes up the whole page, which is really unique, really cool. And she really highlighted that every single performer in the ensemble has their own voice and message and story to share.
I had a chance to sample some of the audio from the album, and you mentioned Herencia. There's so much, I mean, the amount of variety is impressive. What are some of the genres or styles that we encounter, and some of the other maybe stories that you'd like to highlight from the album?
Yeah, absolutely. There really is a bit of everything. It's a very stylized album with all different kinds of moods being captured. We open the album with a very energetic bam, we're here. Habari Gani, the opening piece by Quentin Blash, was our season opening, was our program opener when we toured it. And I think it just fits very, very well to like you just put this album on and you open with that and it's like curtain is open. Quentin is a cellist in our orchestra and he's toured with us extensively. So that's another kind of example of he really knew, who he was writing for and what he was writing about. He actually like quoted one of the pieces that we toured from the year beforehand while he was writing it while he was on the road with us. And so it was like in his ear. So there's like one or two measures of like these little kinds of Easter eggs that he has throughout. So there's that kind of like high energy piece. Also high energy is Drill from Curtis Stewart. It's a drum kit concerto with Josh Jones on the drums. You really feel like you're in the middle of a city in that piece. It's a very urban kind of setting, very urban stylist type of music. The drill genre being captured by, using drums and foot stomps and slapping the instruments. So we all kind of become percussionists for that piece. But then it's immediately countered and juxtaposed by Juan-Tio Vicente's Hane, which has a very pastoral, very landscape kind of imagery. Vicente from the Navajo region really captures that specific kind of voice as well. We haven't recorded a work by an indigenous composer up to this point. And so having that messaging and that tone, that style, I can't really describe it with words, but there's a totally different kind of image that comes to mind when you have that being played, juxtaposed with something very city-like as Curtis Stewart's very like you feel like you're in the middle of Chicago or New York. Could check out all of our touring dates at sphinxmusic.org. You can see the Sphinx Virtuosi webpage on there. We're going to be doing, I think, 19 or 20 public concerts throughout the season. So we have a touring cycle this month in October, and then again between February and March in 2026. We will be in Cleveland as well.
Yes, well, a lot to look forward to, certainly. I've been speaking with Bill Neary, who's the Director of Ensemble Advancement at the Sphinx Organization, and he joined me today for some of the details on the new Sphinx Virtuosi album, American Mirror, which is out now on Deutsche Grammophon. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you so much.